Take your Bibles, turn to Luke 15 and Psalm 126. If you would, just find those places. Hold your finger there. We'll come to them in just a moment. Man, I tell you, to have a voice like that, I appreciate the good singing. I think we're so blessed. We've got so much talent here at Victory Baptist Church. And that surely helps us to get us prepared for the preaching of the Word of God. And the singing that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what it's all about anyway? And truly it is. And again, I appreciate the special music, the choir, the hard work that goes into making our music program what it is. And I appreciate you being here today. I want you in just a moment to look at a passage of Scripture we're going to look at. One that we probably don't preach on a lot or talk a lot about, but one today that I feel led to bring a message about. We stop and think about the mission of the church and what God's called us to do. It's often been said, when we look around, there's churches almost everywhere. But just because there's churches everywhere does not mean that every church is doing what God would have us to do. And there's a great mission that God's ordained and called of us in the church of things we need to do and what we ought to do. And the good news is, when we do God's will and do God's bidding, He rewards us generously. And we receive the blessings and the encouragement and the great deal of things that He does for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth to offer Himself as a living sacrifice, to die on a cross in order that we might have salvation, literally He came knowing that His life was going to be full of activity and busyness. A lot of times we think of church as being something that, you know, we'll work in as we can or as we need to. But you know, ultimately, if you're a child of God, we ought to live for God, we ought to serve God, and we ought to want to be involved in the work of God. And understand that every service that we have at Victory Baptist Church is an important service. Every message that's ever preached is an important message. And every decision that's made is important in the lives of each and every one. And I believe today, many people say, well, you know, you expect too much, or we do too much, or whatever. I don't believe we can ever do too much for the one that did all that He did for you and I when He offered Himself on the cross of Calvary. When He came down from heaven, He knew His mission. He knew that it was to come and suffer and bleed and die, to be spat upon, to be mocked, to be beaten. But yet He came in spite of it, determined that He was going to do the will of His Father, and He was going to present Himself to be a living sacrifice for each and every one of us in order that we might be saved. When He came to this earth, He loved, He prayed, He preached, He taught, He searched, He sowed, He fasted, He wept. And yes, He came to the point of even dying in order that we might have salvation. He knew no idleness. He knew no leisure time, if you will. His involvement implemented the fact that He was going to stay busy. As we know, the Bible said the idle hands are the devil's workshop. And if we're not doing anything, the devil is going to more so come to us and steal away from us. The Bible said in John 10 and verse 10, and I'm going to get to my text in a moment, but in John 10 and verse number 10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Now, if you have your Bibles, look with me at Psalm 126. I want to read verse 5 and 6. The Bible said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Do you want to rejoice today? You want to see the blessing of God? You want to be happy in Jesus? I tell you, it's kind of discouraging. And many times, physically, we have problems. It's so easy to be discouraged. It happens to all of us. But friend, in serving the Lord, there's a joy like no other joy that you'll ever find in giving the Word of God to people and seeing lives changed by the grace of God. Now, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Luke chapter number 15. And I want to begin by reading in verse number 3. And I want to read through verse number 7. And I want you to listen to this passage of Scripture. The Bible said in verse number 3, and He spake this parable unto them, saying, He said, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than more than 99 just persons who need no repentance. Our Father, Lord, today we thank you for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together, and Lord, to worship you. And I do pray today that you'd help me, that you'd anoint my lips. Lord, that you'd help me as I declare the word. Lord, that it might speak to our heart, that it might motivate us. Lord, we've gotten to a point anymore, and I believe the majority of churches today, and I'm not judging any church in particular, but I tell you today, our churches are failing in fulfilling the mission that you called us to do. And the reason we are is because we've neglected the most important thing that you saw important in your life and even in our life, and that's winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ and telling them that Jesus loved them and died on the cross to save them. I pray now today that you'd open our mouths, our hearts, and our ears. Lord, help us to understand you didn't put us here. And thank God for all the blessings we get along the way. Thank God for all the enjoyment we have with family and the things we can do to have a good time together. But Lord, help us not to neglect the most important thing, and that's being faithful to you and what you've called us to do in the ministry that you set before us. Have your will and way, we pray. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I want you to understand today before us we have a parable, and the parable is given in order that we might understand, but it talks about a shepherd having the sheep, and he has literally a whole fold of sheep, and he has them together, and he discovers that one of them is lost, and so he leaves the flock and he goes to find them. I believe the reason that God gave us this illustration in the Bible is because he wanted to stress to us the importance of the mission that God's called us to. Friend, we're not here to play church, and we're not here to go through the emotions, and we're not here today to show off our duds, or we're not here today in order that we might, you know, somehow us get edified, but we're here today in order that Jesus Christ may be lifted up, given all honor and glory. And if there's somebody that would come into this building today that had never trusted Christ as their Savior, every child of God in the church ought to be praying that if there's one that way that they'd get saved today, because the most important business of God is seeing people come to Christ. Now understand, when Jesus left and went back to heaven, he told his disciples, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I want you to know the disciples and apostles that we know in the Bible have already passed off the scene. And I believe today they're no longer with us, other than the fact that they're with the Lord. But we understand today there's a job to be done, and guess who is to do it? You said, oh, that's my neighbor's job, or that's the preacher's job, or that's somebody else's job. No, friend, I want to tell you today, it's all of our jobs, but it's all of our jobs to do what God called us to do and to be interested in the souls of people. For you see, Jesus Christ knew that it was important. If we were to have salvation, it was important for him to come to this earth and die. I've talked about it so many times before that he left the portals of glory and he came to this earth. Friend, who in the world, as I've said before, would want to leave heaven to come to this old earth? In fact, most people I talk to, you, they say, boy, I'm looking forward to the Lord coming back. I wish he'd come back. This world is wicked and this world is bad, and I'm ready to go home to be with Jesus. And friend, all of us today are longing for that place called heaven. But yet Jesus saw it important enough that he was willing to come to this earth. And he said in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 49, he said, I must be about my Father's business. He wasn't here for a popularity contest. He wasn't here for people even to like him. He wanted people to love him and accept him. He wanted people to understand that Jesus had made a way. In Luke chapter 4 and verse number 43, and he said unto them, I preach the kingdom of God in other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Can I submit to you today, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent from heaven by his heavenly Father in order that he might come here and give us eternal life. So Jesus felt the importance of his mission in what he was doing. He was set on giving himself to the gospel and doing what God would have him to do. He said in John chapter 9 verse 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Too many times we see only the hard and difficult task, and as a result, we fail to reap the rewards. I tell you today, excitement comes when we're fulfilling God's will. Excitement comes when we see God doing work. Excitement comes when we see souls being born again and snatched out of the pit of hell. I was saddened this week to learn of the bombings in Sri Lanka and also in the synagogue in California yesterday. It's so tragic that people walk into buildings and shoot innocent people. And my heart goes out to all of them. And I tell you today, there's not a person in this building said, man, if I'd have known that and I'd have been there, if I'd have been there, I would have warned those people. I would have cried and said, listen, there's a gunman coming. You need to get out of here, and you need to get out of here as quickly as you can. You know, we don't know that, and we could not have known that, and probably nobody else knew that, and that's why the tragic result happened. But I tell you what we do know. We do know that Jesus came to this earth and died in order that we might have salvation. We do know that those that reject Christ are going to die in their sins and go to hell. And we do know that we need to get the gospel out to people in order that they might hear the word of God and be saved by the grace of God. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is night, for the day cometh when no man can work. Yes, Jesus felt the importance of his mission. You see what he said? He said, I will, I must, I'm going to. It's not if, and, but about it. I'm going to do what God sent me to do. And I tell you, wouldn't it be wonderful today if we as children of God could understand what God's called us to do? And we'd be willing to reach out to those around about us. The second thing I want you to notice this morning is the shepherd felt the importance of his mission. I'm told that an experienced shepherd knows all of his sheep. I think it's so interesting today. I read history books and books that tell us about the sheep and the shepherd, and it's quite interesting, the relationship. But that shepherd knows all those sheep by name. Can you imagine being a shepherd? There's not a whole lot to do, so I guess it wouldn't be hard to name all of them and remember them. It'd be hard for me to distinguish which was which, because to me, sheep look like sheep, and they all look alike. But that shepherd, he knew his sheep. He knew them by name, and they knew his voice. And it wasn't long, even in a group of maybe 100 that was there, it was not long one day before this shepherd in this parable began to look, and he saw that there was a sheep that was missing. Now, today in thinking about that, he saw more than the present surrounding consequences of a sheep being missing. Today, if people had 100 sheep and one sheep went missing, they probably said, oh well. It's not going to affect me financially, so I'm just going to let it go. His mission demanded concern. He literally was afraid that that sheep would perish. How many of you, I don't think anybody today here, well, I don't know, maybe hunters do, but I hate to see an animal get run over. We'll just say run over. And we'll say shot, but just run over. I hate to see an animal get shot. I don't know, just something, you know, I still think of Bambi, you know. And just kind of, you know, you just kind of feel sorry for them. I know they don't think like we do. I know they can't be saved. I know they're not going to heaven. I know all that stuff, but just kind of sadness. But you know, not so much Bambi, but don't raise your hand, but how many of you's got a dog that you really, really love? And I tell you what, man, you let something happen to that dog, man, that dog goes missing. You call out the bomb squad if you have to, man. Well, not the bomb squad, I guess the mod squad, to help you find that dog, right? Well, that's the same way it was with the shepherd. That shepherd loved his sheep. I'm going somewhere with this, so just hang on. But that shepherd loved his sheep. And he distinguished that one was missing, and it demanded concern. He could have been apathetic about it. He could have been satisfied with his flesh, you know, and hey, what's one little lamb? It's not going to cost me nothing. When I take them to the market, I'll never miss it. It's not going to deplete my finances at all. Yet, he began an active, absorbing search to look everywhere he could for that lamb, that little sheep that was missing. His mission demanded persistency. Not only being able to locate the sheep did not cause him to return defeated. When he didn't find him right away, it didn't cause him to be defeated. He continued to seek to find him. Despite of the roughness of the mountainside and the briars and the cliffs and all the things that would come against us, and most of us, if at that point we would give up and say, what's the use? I'm not doing that anymore. He's just not worth it. No, sir. The shepherd knew that his job demanded persistency and the continued look. Oh, today, persistency is so important. But his concern and persistency brought rewards and joy. Look, if you would, at verse number 5. And when he found it, he laid it upon his shoulders. What's that word? Rejoicing. And when he cometh home, listen, he wasn't just happy the day he found it. But when he got through and he got him back to the place where everybody was and his family was there, when he cometh home, he called together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. I'm afraid in our churches, people getting saved has become few and far between. And I'm afraid today that we've, even when somebody does get saved, it's just a passive thought. That's wonderful. Oh, I'm so glad they got saved. Friend, it ought to be more than I'm so glad they got saved. It ought to be, praise God, he saved another soul. He delivered them from the pit of hell, and they're going to heaven one day, and we ought to rejoice and rejoice in what God is doing. We rejoice in everything else in the world. Why not rejoice in the fact that when a person trusts Christ, that that's one of the biggest things that'll ever happen. In fact, did you know something? That is the biggest thing that'll ever happen at Victory Baptist Church, is for people to get saved by the grace of God. Friend, I believe one day we're going to stand to give an account in our lives of just what we did to help people get saved. I tell you, we've had the message, we've concealed the message, we've hid the message, and we've refused to give the message. And literally hundreds of people are dying every day without Christ. And God left us here to understand that the sheep is an important thing for us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them in order that they might become sheep, be saved by the grace of God. His persistency brought reward and joy. I tell you today, the average church you go in, it looks like it's a funeral service. People are so sad looking. And I know there are certain things and circumstances that lead us in life to be sad. But I tell you, we got a lot to rejoice about. And we can rejoice in what God is doing and what he's doing. And today I want to tell you the church, number 3, ought to feel the importance of the mission of the church. Jesus saw the importance of the mission. He came literally and gave his life. We find the shepherd saw the importance of the mission. He left the 99 in the fold, and he went out and he looked for that sheep persistently and continually through all the roughness of the area until he found it. And when he did, it brought about rejoicing. I guess if you were a shepherd and you spent all your time with sheep, you'd probably love them just like you do that dog I was talking about a while ago. You get kind of close to them. I tell you today, we ought to get close to the people that Jesus got close to when he came to this world. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, shall have everlasting life. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus died for every soul today, and every soul needs an opportunity to hear the gospel. And if they don't hear the gospel, guess whose fault it's going to be? It's going to be the church. And it'll be, whether it be our church or whether it be somebody else's church, friend, we've missed the mark. I'm for all the activities, and we're doing things with the kids. We're taking them to the zoo, and we have preacher's pals, and we let them play games. But I tell you what, the most important thing is we give the salvation story over and over and over again. And when that Sunday school teacher gets them in class, they need to give the story over and over and over again. Listen, it's a story that you ought to never tire of telling, and it's a story that people ought to never get tired of hearing, and we ought to rejoice when people get saved. One of the biggest complaints of the backslider against the church, I think, is found in Psalm 142 in verse number 4. He said, no man cared for my soul. Now, I want to stop right here and just say right off the bat, and I mean this, and I'm not just trying to pat you on the back, because I'm going to beat you over the back about some things too, but I will tell you this. We got a friendly church. We do. And we went to the nursing home a few weeks ago, and somebody told about their mother being in there, and we went down and got her and brought her out, and she told her daughter, she said, I really enjoyed it. She said, them people's nice. She said, all them people's nice. All the people that went made an effort to speak to her. And I tell you, when people come into the house of God, they ought to feel welcome. And I tell you, when I see people come to the house of God, I don't care who they are. I'm just tickled to death that they're here. And I'll tell you what, as a church, we never ought to get to the point where we just walk by people and don't get excited about seeing them here, and especially if they're saved. When a young person, I mentioned last Sunday, we had a young man that visited the church, and somebody gave him a tract, said he came to church. I tell you, when he went out the door, I tried to make him feel as welcome as I could. I said, man, I sure am glad you came. I hope you'll come back. And I asked him a few questions, talked to him. Only had a minute at the door. But I tell you today, we're losing young people because when they go to church, a bunch of older people sometimes, and I'm not talking about here because I told you, I think we're friendly. But I tell you, a lot of times they go to church and people like, what are you doing here? Why'd you come? I tell you why they came. They came to hear something from God. And I tell you today, the church needs to understand that God has charged us with a commission. He said in Mark 16:15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now you can do one of two things. You can be content and satisfied where you are, and you cannot do a single thing to try to win anybody to Christ or get anybody to come to church or hear the gospel. And if you're satisfied with that, that's okay with me, but I'm not sure it's going to be okay with God, but you'll have to answer to Him when you stand before Him. Yet today, God's charged us that we have a responsibility. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If we were all doing our part like we ought to be doing our part, this building right here wouldn't hold the people that God would give to us, I believe, if we really got a burden about going after those lost sheep and seeing them saved by the grace of God. He charged the church. Not only he commanded them, but he gave them the charge of urgency in John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We better start harvesting, because I tell you, it ain't going to be long before everything's going to be reaped up when Jesus comes back and takes us home to be with Him. We find that He said in Song of Solomon 7, 11, 12. We don't quote a lot of verses out there, but listen to what it said. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into His field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us go up early in the vineyards. He said in Isaiah 62, verse 1, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goeth forth as a lamp that burneth. Can I just read that again? He said, for Zion's sake. Could I change that a little bit? Could I say today, for Thomasville's sake, will I not hold my peace? For the state of Georgia's sake, I'll find no rest until the righteousness therefore goeth forth as a lamp that burneth. You know, today, I want to be thankful for the opportunity and the privilege we have. And I shared this morning, I think in Sunday school, man, not in the opening, but this morning I had the privilege of talking to a man and giving him a tract. And I bet you 3 times, he said, you're so kind. Thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for shaking my hand. And I'm like, for shaking your hand? Man, most people don't even want to shake your hand. But somebody needed somebody. And I tell you what, if you're not finding those people, you're missing out. Because I tell you, it was a reward and a blessing. It was a reward and a blessing to me to know that maybe somehow God had used me. I didn't do anything. Listen, honestly, I didn't, and there's nothing out of it. But listen, I felt for a moment, I saw a twinkle in his eye, and I saw something about him that seemed to encourage him. And friend, I don't know his name. I didn't get it. And by the way, that conversation led to another conversation at another table, and I won't get into all that. But friend, I'm telling you, people are hungry for something, and they don't know what it is. And we have it, and we're hiding it. We're afraid somebody else is going to. Listen, we got plenty of people at our church. We're paying the bills. We're doing good. It ain't about doing good. It's not about paying the bills, and it's not about having stuff. It's about getting people saved by the grace of God. And friend, today I believe we need to minister to the people and the saints that are here. I believe in activities. I'm not saying that in any way. But friend, the real burden of our heart ought to be for people that need the gospel. You said, well, most people don't want to hear it. Well, they'll let you know if they don't. Don't get offended. But they might let you know. But if they do, it's okay. You see, the church needs to understand the mission that God has for us and what He wants us to do. But then, fourthly, the church will reap and rejoice when her mission is carried out. I read it a while ago, Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. D.L. Moody was a great soul-winning evangelist. You know, you go back and you read sometimes some of Moody's messages, and you read Spurgeon's messages, and I'll tell you, of course, now they were from another era, and they spoke different ways than we do, but I've read some of their messages, and I've got blessings from them and help from them when I've looked in them, but just looking at them, they're just messages. But what was it about the message? It was the man that was preaching the message. And I believe D.L. Moody was one of the greatest soul winners. One day he was conducting a revival in London, and somebody came to him and said, "Brother Moody, the king is in the audience tonight." They said he got up to read his text. Well, number one, understand he was not very well educated. He had not gone very far in school, and he had got the education equivalent of about a sixth grader. And they came and said, "The king's in the audience." And he stepped to the pulpit that night and literally say he was trembling nervously. He was stammering. He was muddling up his words. He took his pen and he closed his Bible. And he began to pray. Now this is the power of God. And while he was praying, people literally become coming down the aisle to the altar and getting saved by the grace of God through his prayer. I'm not here today to impress you with my speech, and you know that. I tell you, I'm not a real man. English was probably my worst subject. I tell you, I don't do too good with the King's English. But I tell you, I do know the King's Word. And friend, I don't care today whether you're a pauper or whether you're a king. Whether you're a king, a princess, or a prince. Friend, this Word will save your soul if you'll turn it over to the Lord. You see the difference in D.L. Moody? It was everybody may have the Word, but you got to have the Master's touch. That's right. And I tell you, when he had the Master's touch, he was able to tell them about Christ. And that's what's necessary in reaching lost men. People say to me, I preach, I just don't think I could witness to somebody. Really? Why not? Preacher, I just don't think I could give nobody a track. I don't want to seem odd. I'd rather be odd than somebody get saved. And we heard testimonies the other night, and I'm telling you, people, you just never know. But God has a mission for His people. And I tell you, I love my church. I love the fact that we can come together as Christians and worship and fellowship. And enjoy and go to the zoo and go to places and have preacher's pals and open the gym and have activities. I'm all about that. But let's not forget the most important mission that God's called us to. And that's giving the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that was lost. And then I close with this. Jesus Christ was the chief shepherd. His coming to earth was voluntary. He had a choice. But you know, He never questioned His choice, but He came in order that He might endure persecution, mockery, suffering. While in heaven, He was among the angelic host, but His concern for the lost motivated Him to leave the comfort of heaven to come to this earth to save lost sinners. And friend, today, heaven is much better than the comfort of this church. Although I'm grateful for the comfort of this church, but are we willing to leave the comfort of our church and go and do what God has called us to do? Concern drove Him from the sparkling throne of God to the borrowed back of a donkey in order that He might come into this world to give His life for us. His concern demanded a crown of thorns upon his brow when he could have been adorned with the royal diadem. But yet, concern cried, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." The reason he suffered, the reason he endured, is because he cared. He cared for sinners, educated and uneducated. He cared for sinners, rich and poor. He cared for sinners that was in poverty, stricken, and those who were well off. He came for good sinners and bad sinners. And he's still seeking today. He's the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd of this flock here. And I'm going to tell you today, we better get back to the business of doing what God wants us to do. If you think it's bad, we don't think it's bad. We know it's bad. We live in a bad world, wickedness-wise. And we want the Lord to come back. I believe we can have a part in that. Because one day the last person is going to be saved. I don't know who's going to lead them to Christ, and I don't know when it'll be. But when it does, the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ arise first, and we which are remain be called up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I'm telling you, Jesus cared about the souls of men. And friend, today we need to be concerned about the souls of men in order that we might see them saved by the grace of God. And the only way to do it is to get busy telling others about Christ. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege. Lord, I realize some probably said, "Preacher, that's a Sunday night message." No, that's a Sunday morning message. Everybody need to hear it. It might not be nothing want to hear. Hey, maybe some don't think they need to hear it. But Lord, it's the mission that you've given to every one of us. And I pray now that you would bless. I pray that you'd have your will and way. I pray that you'd guide and direct. Lord, just give us wisdom, strength, and help. And I pray that you'd bless now this invitation. Lord, I pray again, if there's one here lost, that they come be saved. Some maybe have been saved that may want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. May some want to come and join by church membership. Whatever it is, Lord, help them to step out today. In Jesus' name, amen.